I love that. I love God's word. I love how God's word speaks to us today. And I love how over the years there's certain verses and passages that have stood out to me. I might say that Psalm 139 is one of my favourites since I was young. Someone gave it to me and it spoke to me. It's powerful, isn't it? And it's poetic. It can be comforting and yet a little bit scary. That's my words. I think for me, when I think about being known and God knowing all of my ways, my comings, my going, my thoughts, that's comforting sometimes, isn't it? I don't have to speak. He knows. He understands. But when you think of God knowing all your thoughts and ways, is it a bit scary? Yeah, it is. It's a bit of both for me. And when you look at Psalm 139, there's four parts to it. Verses 1 to 6 talk about God knowing all about us. When we look at, it says, when you look at me, and there's some different translations that we've looked at. But when you look at me in verse 1, when you study me, it's saying, or give me an examine. We use the name Lord as a special name for God, his covenant name. That covenant where we know it can be made between two people or a group of people, where they agree. And here God agrees to love and give help to his people. They agree to love and obey him. The Lord sees every part of us. He even knows what we are going to say before we say it. Sometimes you think, God, why didn't you stop me from saying that? Oh, why did I say that? Your hand in verse 5, when we talk about his hand, means your power. It means what God does in the world. And to understand it, it's like climbing a very high mountain, too high to get to the top. Anyone climbed a high mountain here? Kathmandu, some people? Mount Everest? No? It's too high to get to the top sometimes, these mountains. Secondly, we can't hide from God. In verses 7 to 12, we cannot hide from God. The Holy Spirit, or Spirit as it refers to in verse 7, is another name for God as we know. And if we go to the heaven or the sky or Sheol below the earth, God will find us. If we go to the east or west, we cannot hide from him. His hand will always be with us to be a guide and a help. David saw it as a good thing that God was always with him. He had God as a guide and someone to give him help. We cannot see darkness when there's no light. We cannot see when it's dark, but God can. And I can say in my life, you know, I've faced some dark times, some dark places, some darkness. And at times you can feel all alone, can't you? But it says in the scripture that God is light. His light shines in the darkness. God created us. He made us. The secret place deep in the earth. When we're talking about our women today, you know, a mother's womb, that beautiful space of knitting together. Some Bible students, when it says difficult, thinks it should be valuable in verse 17. And I think both ideas are true. David prays about things. There's a quick change in the next verse 4. And sometimes I think we can leave out some of these verses. I know myself, when I'd read it in the past, I left out some of these verses. Where he said he asked for bad things to happen for his enemies. He says they're God's enemies too. In verse 19, David says they're wicked people. Really saying they're really, really bad. They'd been murdering other people and things like that. And he says, he asks if the psalmist hates God's enemies. And verse 22 comes in with a loud yes. And but when we talk about hate, we're meaning the opposite of love, aren't we? And he finishes, though, where he started. It gets back to being a bit more comfortable or uncomfortable. But God is looking into the psalmist's mind. The old ways are the right ways that God told people to walk in, and they will never come to an end. So as we look at Psalm 139, and we know last week we started a focus on prayer in this Lent period, and Clayton spoke about simple prayer. Anyone remember anything from that message if you were here? Saying what's on your mind? That we come perfect? No? We come just as we are. We don't have to have the perfect words. We don't have to have perfection or be perfect, but we come just as we are. And we talk to God. It's that simple. We talk to God. And in the scripture, we were reminded to pray always, to pray always. So as we look at Psalm 139 today, just briefly, there's a prayer called the Prayer of Examine. And when I said that to some of the guys in the band earlier this week, I said, I'm speaking on the Prayer of Examine. And everyone went, it's a formal word, isn't it? It's examine, E-X-A-M-E-N. And there's some explanation that might help. It's a word we don't use often in the way it's spelt. But we know that it's linked to examination. And it carries much of the same meaning. It comes from the Latin and it refers to the tongue or weight indicator on a balanced scale. So it's about that accurate assessment of a true situation. So when we talk about the prayer of examine, we're really sitting with God at the end of a day and saying, God, examine my day. Let me examine my day with you. It's a prayer that Saint Ignatius started when lots of people weren't getting time or getting around to praying in their day. They were busy. They were busy people and they were like, oh, we just don't have time to pray. So he created this as a step to look through their day. There's a guy called St. John Vianney and he said, prayer is the inner bath of love which the soul plunges itself in. Prayer is the inner bath of love into which the soul plunges in. Itself. So we could come to church. We can come to church for a year, for 10 years, for 40 years, for 6 months. We could come in, week out, maybe without having that experience of that spiritual examine. What a tragedy that would be when we're struggling in our faith, when we're sometimes barely hanging on or we feel like giving up. I believe that this spiritual examen will help us go deeper with God. Well, we know in Psalm 139:1, King David knew that. Paul in the New Testament reminds us the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. They knew the examen of God. They experienced it not as something to dread, but as something that gave them great strength and empowerment. How do we practice it? And I was going to have a nice big cushy chair. I just couldn't fit it in my car. Have you got a favourite chair in your house? Sometimes when you lay in bed at night, do you think through your day? How many people fall asleep when they're doing that? Probably quite a few of us. But that's another way you might lay in bed. But if you've got a comfy chair or a space or somewhere looking at nature, to go and sit in that space, that quiet space, and sit before God. We look inward. We're not looking outward at the moment. We're not looking upward to God, but we're looking in. And the thing to remember is we're not looking in and saying, all right, I'm going to look through my day on my own, in my own strength, but I'm looking inward with God close. God's right there with me. Isn't that the amazing thing about God? That he doesn't turn away. He's right there with us as we look in. Someone said, your prayer must be turned inwards, not towards a God of heaven or nor a God far off, but to a God who is closer to you and I than we're even aware. It's more than a form of prayer. We look deeper and deeper. We are constantly turning inward, but in a special way. Richard Foster in his book on prayer, which is where some of this comes from, says that in our busy, hectic world, it's easy to run from one thing to the next without much thought of God's presence and purpose in our daily life. Do you get to the end of the day sometimes and say, well, God, I think you were with me all day, but I kind of forgot to chat to you, kind of forgot to ask you what you wanted from me? But we also know that the more time we're spending in his word, in his presence, with others who can encourage us, the more we're in tune with him, aren't we? So that hopefully as we go through our day, we're in tune with him. But this prayer of examine, it's the conscious things, the things that come to mind, and maybe the things deeper that we don't realise are there. And I found when I was looking, you can Google it, prayer of examine, if you're on the internet, it gives you quite a few different little points of how to do it. And I had an app on my phone that says imagining the examine, and it gives you a few questions to ask yourself in the day. Psalm 139, 23 to 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Because we only uncover these things that need cleansing, purifying and healing when we look to God, when we seek him. We can go through our day busy, but at the end of the day, we look at how we responded to his presence. We become more aware of our surroundings. And we know that God wants us to be present where we are. We can look to tomorrow, we can look backwards, but God wants us to be present where we are. Well, sometimes it's hard to look at our own sin, isn't it? It's hard to look inwards. It's easier to look outside ourselves than within us. And yet we know that sometimes we come before God and say, I'm not worthy. Actually, I'm not worthy to come before you. But we know that he's a God of love, an examine of love that it is. So I just want to share just a few key points that I found. As I said, there are a few different ones around that I thought were great for the prayer of examine. And it's four steps that we can pray through. It can be an immediate solution of what do I pray about? And we say everything that's happened, everything and anything that's happened to us today. We might think sometimes it's dreary, same old, but it isn't, because daily life is rich and meaningful. Every encounter, every challenge, every disappointment, every delight is a place where God can be found. So we center ourselves, we find a quiet place, and we replay the day like a movie. And that's a few R's if you want to remember an R. We think over our day like a movie, replaying in our head. We notice what we are noticing. What made us happy? What made us anxious? What made us angry? Secondly, we rejoice. We thank God for those things which are obvious. There's things that come straight to mind to thank God about, hopefully at least one. But we also thank him for the non-obvious things, which we sometimes forget. Random acts of kindness, being healthy, a positive song, or food we ate. And we relish and savour these moments in gratitude to God. So the screen's a bit different actually, Adam, so we might just take that one off. Thanks. So thirdly, we repent. We say sorry to God for moments that come into our mind. Maybe it's, God, actually, I forgot you today. I forgot to even turn to you. I forgot to even ask you for guidance. Actually, God, I've gotten halfway through my day and I've kind of just been doing it in my own strength. Maybe that's the things we're saying sorry for. Maybe it's getting involved in gossip or reacting with a tone that's aggressive or lacking compassion in a situation. Maybe it's ignoring a need or not responding to a nudge when we feel we're meant to do something and we receive his forgiveness afresh. And lastly, we reboot. We make a decision in our hearts to live for Jesus tomorrow and ask for grace to see his presence more clearly. That may take 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So we replay, we rejoice, we repent, and we reboot. So it's not just about a duty or another prayer, but maybe a way that we can pray that can draw us closer to God. So when we're sick, we often go to the doctor for a diagnosis, don't we? They have the knowledge of how the human body works. We go to someone that knows the current remedy for ailments. So we know that God has the knowledge of not only how our human body works, but how our heart and mind work. And it makes sense that we go to Jesus, the great physician, regularly to stay healthy. So we're going to just have an opportunity to respond to him today. This is my desire, to honour you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. It's an older chorus, but I pray that I just take this time to respond. You might want to look at the words or sing, but there's always opportunity to come and kneel or put your hand out where you are and someone will come and pray with you. But take this time to examine, to let God, the God of love, his Spirit, speak into your life right now.